First pitch, he hits one high and deep to left field. Soderstrom going back. He's at the wall. It's gone! Michael Hellman's first big league home run comes with two men on board, and the Rangers are up 5-1.
Hixey with the call on this radio station. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean and RJ with a Tolo Tuesday as they start off the A's series with a nice 7-2 victory in Arlington.
And look, I mean, they get the four-run fifth inning, and you continue the run-scoring outage that you've put out. Output, because they've averaged over 5 runs per game since June 7th. And they do it again, and they help out Jack Leiter, who I was, you know, happy they let him go back out there. You know, they let him go back out there in the seventh inning, even though he didn't make it through, and he allowed the first two guys on, just to get him to stretch out a little bit more. You know, like maybe that's planning for the stretch run here.
Fourth career quality start, all coming this season, tied a career high with 7 strikeouts, the first 4 of which came on his kick change. According to Jared Sandler, Michael Hellman had a night, 4 total runs batted in, and then Josh Young making me feel dumb. When I saw the news earlier in the day that he's being called up, I'm like, don't you have to improve or do something at the minor league level in order to come back? He was hitting 200. He comes back 2-for-2 with a home run, a single, and a walk. 17. Now, Bochy would have said this back to me. 17 of his 44 career home runs have come against southpaws. 38% of his career home runs, while only 25% of his plate appearances versus left-handed pitching, taking only 25% of his plate appearances. So they're facing some lefties, and CY and Bochy hit the right button yesterday.
Yeah, and he's somebody who, not just with the raw power, he's shown that he's been able to handle the lefty-righty splits better over the last couple years than a lot of people across the league, but specifically here in Texas. So The 200 batting average down in the minors is obviously like something that you look at and you go like, well, that's not very good. It makes me wonder, though, because Chris Young talked about it, that his approach was better, things like that. I wonder if literally the only thing they wanted to see from him is like, we don't need you to get hits. We just want to see you're not swinging at stuff outside the zone.
Yeah, could be approach. I mean, we don't know what the scouting reports are like at the minors, what his level, you know, what his, because we see this in spring training. Like, they're not pitching to scouting reports in spring training necessarily. They're out there just getting work in. What is it for a major leaguer who goes down to the minor leagues? Are you just getting work in? Like you said, just pitching to one thing or just looking at an approach at the plate? And look, I mean, they saw enough, obviously. They brought him up here, and the approach seemed to work, whatever it was.
Yeah, and he was having a really difficult time, as we know, before he went out, just being able to handle stuff that was up in the zone, stuff that not even in the zone, out of the zone. He was chasing everything that was up and in, and it was something where his eye level looked like it had changed something like 6 inches. It had gone 6 inches higher over the last couple of years compared to where he was in 2023. And yesterday, you saw a better approach.
The LA Clippers have added a member of the All RJ team, and that would be Chris Paul. Teaming up with Kawhi, Harden, Bradley Beal. Who else am I missing?
John Collins right in there, too.
Ben Simmons
on the Clippers?
Yep.
Wow. Brooke Lopez joining the Clippers. We don't put him on the all-loser team, but here it is. The Clips are gearing up.
Wow.
For a nursing home, maybe.
I actually don't hate. I don't hate the move. I don't hate the roster. Like, that's a decent roster. Like, it's a roster full of losers. It's a who's who have never done anything.
I think
collectively, outside of Kawhi, they have as many NCAA and NBA titles as I do.
I think this is the biggest, hey, my legacy or reputation really needs to work out here, team in sports. Like, when you think about it, Harden's on there, Chris Paul's on there, Bradley Beal's on there, Ben Simmons is on there. It's like a whole bunch of guys who right now have like, hey, my reputation's kind of in the tank right now, and or my legacy's in the tank in the instance of somebody like Chris Paul. I need this to work out. Even Kawhi, who's won 2 titles and won them in different spots, him going to LA was supposed to be like, this is going to make the Clippers the title team that they've never been able to fulfill, and he hasn't been able to do that yet. And so there's still a ton of pressure on Kawhi.
They are one Paul George away from being just like the most talented collection of never was's ever.
And then Luka Doncic out on the recruiting trail to bring Marcus Smart to the Lakers. That happened over the weekend. And I was like, oh, the Lakers are taking advantage of these buyouts.
Yeah.
They're taking advantage of the Ayton buyout. And then Marcus Smart, they kind of stole him, I felt like. He's not 33, 34, 35. They need a defense. They need to replace Dorian. And they got it in Marcus Smart. And it pained me a little bit to read that Luka was in on the recruiting.
Yeah, Marcus High School alum, Marcus Smart, I might add, too. But yeah, this is something where we've heard now that he actively recruited and helped swing the Marcus Smart situation. And DeAndre Ayton had given an interview right after he signed where they were like, have you gotten a chance to talk to LeBron yet? He's like, no, I haven't heard from LeBron. He's like, Luka hit me up instantly. He's
just like the Lakers team owner talking to Luka, not LeBron.
he's like, Luka was, you know, and Ayton talked about how Luka was in his ear and like, man, I'd love to play with you. And he's apparently, the report from The Athletic is that Luka Doncic has been adamant about, hey, this is what I need. I need a rim-running center. I need some better defense. This is what we need here. And that he is just, he's sticking to the workout routine. He's sticking to the strict diet. And you have potentially awoken the beast here. And you've not only traded away one of the best talents, potentially, to a big rival. You've also, in the end of this, might have jump-started the, like, recruiter you always wanted him to be.
You woke up his metabolism and his cell phone.
Yeah.
That he threw
yeah.
and broke. He's texting off it.
And historically, that's another thing. I think RJ's brought this up before. Historically, European players don't do the recruiting
thing. Dirk didn't.
They generally don't. It's usually an American thing because of guys that grew up on AAU circuits mm-hmm. and different things like that. And so Luka really saying, no, we're going to make sure this hurts. Now, I think he's going to be terrifying next year.
I was stunned to find out that Marcus Smart was only 31. I was like, wait a second. He's been in the league since like the 90s. Like it just feels like he's been forever.
Was he on the Bad Boy Pistons?
Yeah.
And then Draymond has to go and yap and open his mouth about Cooper Flagg and the Mavericks' decision to shut him down after two summer league games. He said, quote, he wrote this on Threads.
Yeah, I mean, talk about it. Does anybody use Threads?
Him and Slater? They're the only two on there?
Well, now they, like, force you to tie it in if you ever signed up for it. So, like, I mean, there's 100 million downloads when you look in the Play Store,
who's on there?
No one.
Draymond said, I find it very interesting that players get bashed for load management, but rookies get shut down during summer league these days. Fascinating, huh? Draymond, the last time I checked, the summer league games don't actually count in the standings, like the regular season.
No way, really?
I don't think
his stats surely count for the year.
No.
Yeah, like for MVP. I mean, they're going to tie this in.
Cooper Flagg is not out there gelling with any current teammates that are going to be on his squad. Maybe besides Nembhard's brother, that could be the only one that I'm thinking of who had a great debut. So, what do you? Shut up.
I know what the issue here is. Draymond doesn't like the European players, and Cooper's from Maine, and that's the closest state to Europe.
That makes sense. He's also a big part of this probably is like he doesn't realize there isn't a Draymond Green, or he realized there isn't a Draymond Green in the summer league to actually hurt Cooper Flagg and injure him, so he thinks there's no risk.
I found this from an article. The NBA has studied, this kind of reminds me of the National Football League with concussions and their turf arguments. The NBA has studied various load management reports hoping to rectify a common fan complaint when superstars sit out for rest. The league sent a 57-page report in January of last year indicating findings through 10 previous seasons of data that did not make it clear that resting players makes them less susceptible to injury. So those are some of the NBA findings, but there's Draymond Green already getting on Cooper Flagg and the Mavericks for load management.
Yeah, if sitting doesn't prevent you from injury, the only thing they could make a case for is that it keeps you fresher. Like, you're not going to be as tired. Okay, I could buy that, but that's where it's like, all right, if this is not going to cause injury, this is where you really got to mandate guys.
I will say the first year they really implemented that, it worked. Like you were seeing guys were not the fear of like, well, if I get out there, Anthony Davis played 76 out of 82 games. Kyrie Irving played the longest stretch of in like a decade. Where he hadn't gotten injured. Kawhi Leonard played more games than he had in forever. So, I mean, it was something that the league looked like they were right when they were telling guys, hey, you got to be out there, then they weren't getting hurt at a high rate.
We got details on some NBA point shaving.
Yeah, so the point shaving scandals that happened with, like, a handful of players, they all say it's coming from one Mississippi casino that is at the center of this entire thing, specifically Terry Rozier. And ESPN found
Scary Terry.
Yeah, several bettors placing, you know, 30 wagers in 46 minutes on a 2023 NBA game. All of them involving Rozier, all at the Harris Gulf Coast in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Come on, dude.
All 30 bets were winners after Rozier left the game just 10 minutes into it. Citing a foot injury, he did not play for the rest of the season. So, and they, you know, and we see this, you know, they are so specific on these bets. It's like, you've got to be smarter. The guy for the Guardians.
Oh, careful. Easy.
Yeah.
President.
Yeah. The guy for the Guards, he placed two bets on the first pitch of the inning. Now, if you want to do that, bet like $100. Not $40,000 or whatever the number is, right?
Discreet.
Be discreet.
It's like
about
going to Times Square, undressing, and putting on an all-black outfit with a ski mask, and then going to rob somebody. It's like, we're watching you.
Yeah.
We're watching you put on the robbery outfit.
So this
in the middle of everyone.
This one bettor at this Harris place bet $13,759 in bets on the unders on Rozier's stats in the game between the Hornets and Pelicans. And at least six sports books in multiple states, including several in New Orleans, detected suspicious betting on Rozier props that day. But it all started at this one casino in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Boy, it's
Matthew Broderick out there. The South on the, just Biloxi Blues.
They don't pay attention. Remember Brad Bohannon at Alabama in 2023, yes, where he got in trouble, where he had leaked info, and then somebody's like, "I'd like to place a $100,000 bet on this Alabama baseball game in the middle of the season," and people were like, "Why?" Like, the, you got to be smarter. Alabama, Mississippi, you guys got to get your gambling right.
Some fans and media were sick of all the circus yesterday in Oxnard for the Cowboys opening press conference. They wanted some actual football. What did the new leader of the Dallas Cowboys have to say about this year's team and this year's training camp? You actually hear from Brian Schottenheimer next. Commercial-free expressway with a concert ticket giveaway. And we ask credit. No reason for you to go anywhere else. Give us a chance. Trust us. And you'll see why. Back to Inside the Star next on Sean and RJ. What did Jerry Jones do for the C word, the number one term used about Brian Schottenheimer and the Cowboys offseason? What did Jerry do for the culture yesterday at that opening presser?
If this was the first time you ever heard Jerry speak, he probably did a lot of damage. I think a lot of players kind of just take this as like, oh, it's just part of being
Micah
here.
Didn't. Micah retweeted T.J. Watt. Zeke didn't. C.D. didn't. They're in their negotiations.
They signed.
They did sign. And maybe, again, we'll be sitting there at the end of all of this and saying the last second digs, no pun intended, it means nothing.
And Zeke, to that point, Zeke was more offended by that after it happened and after the contract was signed than C.D. was. CD was, I think CD even said something at one point like, it was the negotiation. Like, wait, what are you, like, everybody's going to do their thing.
What's the point of it, you think? Is it for the attention? Because these two television screens for the first hour and 20 minutes of this show have been on the Dallas Cowboys. I think Jerry has not a wink-wink deal with the players, but it's basically, I can always patch it up with them behind the scenes. Everything is fine. Don't worry about it. It's a disrespect. And it always gets usually solved afterwards. I'm going to kick you in the nards publicly. I'm going to sit there and embarrass you. I'm going to take cheap shots.
Yeah.
But he fixes it.
You want to create pressure in a negotiation, especially from Jerry's side. So, like, I'll draw it to our own personal experience.
Oh,
last year,
when's your deal up, November?
Last year in October, when Jerry came on here and I'll get somebody else to ask these questions. Universally, everyone was on our side, like all over the place. That didn't change the fact that it still felt like a lot, like at that time. Like, it was just like the weight of being part of Jerry's news cycle is a lot. And it's like, geez, it ups the gravity a little bit. And I think that's something where Jerry wants you to feel him. Jerry wants you to feel the power that he has. He wants you to feel that in the negotiation. So him saying that, yeah, Mike all of a sudden is just like, now he's hearing all this, does Jerry even like you? What's going on? And like that probably seeps into a negotiation a little bit about, like, why would they
think
this about
him? Does it, though? It didn't seep into Dak's. Like, now, Dak and Micah and Lamb, they had all the leverage. Someone did tell me yesterday, a former player called me up and said, Micah Parsons is dying to be Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan and talk to us about his leadership and preach all that. Micah Parsons wants to be liked. So that's what I thought of right there. When Micah Parsons wearing all this his Drake collection of jerseys and not representing one team, Micah has a yearning, has a desire to be liked and accepted. That's what made me think of that right there when you brought that up.
It's the old, if somebody tells you that they're a leader, then they're not.
Yeah.
I would say if you are able to create, if your goal is you need to see this contract through to the end before I give you another one, then making them feel like it's not a bluff and you could legitimately walk away if you don't, or I'm genuinely asking a question, makes things probably easier to navigate than if they're just like, oh, you're just trying to force me to play on something that you're always going to sign me regardless. That's why Dak had so much power, was because Dak's like, you're not going to do anything.
Right.
You're going to sign me. Others, Zeke who? All right, well, Zeke starts wondering, are they? Do they value the running back position? Do they value me like they should? So I think that's, it's just the public negotiation tactic of, let's let them feel this heat a little bit, and that's how we're going
to
operate.
Because if I'm Brian Schottenheimer, I have to wake up this morning, day one of practice, and check in with Terrence Steele, and maybe check in with Trayvon Diggs, and check in with Micah Parsons because of what happened yesterday.
Which,
those three things are on my docket, and they shouldn't be. I got to talk to Terrence Steele after Jerry Jones said we shouldn't have paid him.
Well, he would say, like, obviously the inference was there, but he would say, I didn't. I asked the reporter, do you think I shouldn't have? Like, that, he would say, I never said we shouldn't have.
Well, that's fine. We can be technical about it.
Yeah.
If Terrence Steele has a regular heartbeat and a regular brain, he's going to take it as, I just got publicly embarrassed by the owner.
Yeah, we'd all feel the same.
Over a contractual mistake. And I may have to check in with Dak Prescott because every TV show is talking about the sideswipe that Jerry. So my point is, it's already a lot of BS on Brian's platter day one.
Now, chances are, Shoddy talks to those guys just anyway. He seems like the guy who texts everybody every day
to tell him good night, FaceTime.
Seriously, right? You know, like if that's what he is, he's a culture guy.
But so what? Now I have to talk to them about this. I'm not asking, did you guys go on the beach with the fam? When's the fam coming out? Here's where you need to go in California. I'm not asking them about that.
No, you're not.
I'm putting a Band-Aid on what Jerry Jones did yesterday. I have to be like, hey, man, let's still have a good first week. Let's have a good first day.
Yeah, maybe you do that. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're like, these guys are like adults and they could see right through the crap.
I don't know.
You know, like,
what's the crap?
Well, Dak's been,
Jerry Jones regrets Trayvon Diggs' deal.
Dak has been here long enough to know.
I think Dak might.
Dak doesn't, and he got his money. You know, it's like, what does he care what they say? Steele, I could see. Diggs, sure, absolutely. I thought Jerry was off base on some of the Diggs stuff. But yeah, no doubt Steele and Diggs, they would be the ones that you would have to really kind of.
Micah?
I didn't think the Micah and comment about, well, he missed games last year. Was a shot. I didn't think that as a dig. I thought that was a comment that didn't make any sense, right? But it was like, people are asking, well, why don't you pay these guys? Well, just because I pay it doesn't mean they're going to be here. I mean, missed games last year. You know, it's like his weird way of kind of deflecting. I don't know. It's very strange. Didn't make any sense. Didn't take it as a dig necessarily. But it's, again, Mike is going to be, he's going to get $160 million. That will cure all this.
Yep.
Steele, you might need to talk to. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not speaking to, oh, Steele can't handle it or anything else. But, like, you may want to check in with him. I don't know. Because that one was not, there was nothing planned about that. That was, it got asked in a question. He circled around to it. There was a very clear intent to talk about Trayvon Diggs a certain way yesterday that I don't think the organization is out of lockstep with. I don't think they feel a need to talk to Trayvon Diggs. I think they want him to feel it. I think they want him to feel like, yeah, you need to step it up. Nobody's going to come over here and go like, you okay, buddy? No, you need to feel like you're not doing your job and you need to come out here and do it.
And I don't feel like I disagree with that.
No, I don't either. He's not done. he's not done enough of what he's supposed to do in or out of season the last year and a half.
Although you brought up, you know, these guys rehabbing almost all the time on their own, Choppy. Yeah. So why is Trayvon catching bullets?
Yeah, I look, he's hurt, right? He's injured. He was getting rehab. So many guys in sports today have their own coaches, have their own trainers, have their own rehab people. I totally understand the team wanting to be able to monitor that and have it done in their building. The reality is that that's not the reality for sports today. Guys have their own guys.
Not exclusively, though. Usually it is done in partnership and in lockstep with organizations. Trayvon is getting work outside the building. Yeah. Like that's something which sometimes it's, you know, DeMarcus Ware, this was a big issue when DeMarcus Ware left here, was trust being lost between him and the staff.
What did the training staff get and the training room get on the NFLPA's rankings?
Yeah, bad grades.
Was that not like the C+?
Yeah, I mean, what does that have to do with the like reality of, like, in general, though, like an organization and the way that they're working, there's generally going to be lockstep work with an outside trainer. Like it's not generally going to be isolated. They've got to know what the player's doing.
If I think your training staff stinks, I'll go to another training staff.
I need to know what your trainer's doing.
He's saying the Cowboys need to know what that outside trainer's doing.
Yeah, okay, I understand. I understand them
at least coordinate with each other.
Because not everybody, ideally you want your players to live in the city that they're playing in. That doesn't always happen.
Sure. I mean,
Trayvon might live in Miami. I have no idea where he lives.
Duke Manyweather, who we talked to a couple weeks ago, Duke is involved not only in training. Duke's involved a lot of times in, like, a lot of the different things that he has in strength training and different things. Mm-hmm. That's why he talked about Connor Riley went over there and they had a sit down and they had a talk about just kind of like ideas and like, hey, how do we see this?
And
what
Duke
do you think?
Is the offensive line guru.
Yeah, the offensive line. And so those interactions need to take place, or a lot of times it needs to take place in the building. And there just needs to be a, hey, let's check in. What have you been doing with him? Like, because this is what we're doing and this is what. That's not going on consistently enough, and that's where the Cowboys, I think, are getting frustrated.
I thought it was a funny tweet from BKP. I like it. Insult them publicly, then give them what you were going to give them all along.
Yeah.
That's usually what ends up happening. All right.
That's how he gets power back. Jerry gets power by insulting them, and then he'll pay him anyway. He's like, oh, I got the insult in.
Brian Schottenheimer took 8 minutes and 10 seconds to hear from the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. What does the top of his training camp list look like?
You know, we were talking about that last night with the staff a little bit. Just, you know, we want to have a very physical training camp. You know, there's limitations to what you can do. But, you know, we want to come out of this thing knowing the emphasis of winning the line of scrimmage. Like, that's really important to us, both offensively and defensively. You know, how we want to play, be a physical style team, both offensively and defensively. And so I would say that maximize our padded practices. Obviously got the work coming up against the Rams here in a couple weeks. And that's the big emphasis right now.
Love that. Physicality, line of scrimmage, physical camp. Schottenheimer on last year's issues, turnovers, injuries, consistency. I believe practice will separate us from the rest of the league. Said Mozzie looks awesome. Now, he didn't go out of his way to praise Mozzie. That would have meant more. He was asked about Mozzie. But that was Brian Schottenheimer, while also addressing Turpin. Very good PR-type answer. Good question from Nick Harris to end the press conference yesterday on The Fan. And he's basically like, we had a talk with him, and he knows what he needs to do and how he needs to hold himself accountable.
Yeah, I do think that even though he was asked about Mozzie Smith, though, I think Schottenheimer has gone out of his way over the last couple months to subtly and sometimes very directly build up Mozzie Smith and Tyler Guyton, who are two guys who I think there's been questions about, like, are they hanging their head a little bit? Are they letting the noise get to them a little bit? Are they getting down by it? I think that's been a calculated move from Brian Schottenheimer to say, hey, let's build up the confidence again a little bit and get them playing with a confident
position. Go live to Adam Schefter with his mic reaction.
It's interesting. I mean, we said this before, that the Cowboys move very slowly, glacially with these things. They have yet to submit a contract proposal to Micah Parsons. Nothing. For all the talk that we've had about the Dallas Cowboys, Micah Parsons, his contract, how close they are, how close they aren't, there hasn't been an offer yet. So that tells you where they are right now. Not very close.
Does that mean that they're not, like, close in the conversations, and it's not, the conversations don't matter until you submit an actual proposal?
We could look at it that way. I think that if talks are heating up. If they're serious, there are proposals. Like, here's what we're thinking. There may be, hey, we'd like to keep you. Great, we'd like to keep you. Okay, you've had contract negotiations. Yeah. You've had contract negotiations. I mean, if nobody submitted an offer, where does that
tell those aren't you really are. Negotiations. Yeah. Yeah. They're just ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I mean, in order for this to happen, what you're saying is that the first step on this journey, if a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step hasn't even been taken.
Correct.
I feel like this goes back to, I'm just thinking back a few months
All right.
ago.
What? You don't think it's a big deal?
No. I mean, first of all, like, what is a contract proposal? A full on a piece of paper? Like, have the Cowboys said, we'll offer you, you know, we're looking at $35 million, $40 million.
That's the distinction, I think.
Yeah. Like that, I'm sure the Cowboys have exchanged a number. Like, also, I would also say, if the Cowboys offered Micah $35 million, I would say that's not a contract offer. That's not a legitimate offer. If Micah said, we want $50 million, I would say the same thing. That's not a contract offer.
It's when the market had set up at quarterback to be $34 million a year. The first offer, I mentioned earlier that France said 46. The first offer the Cowboys threw out to him was $25 million a year.
Yeah, that's not a contract.
And that's when France went, okay, then 46 is our counter.
Yeah.
And we're going to settle in the middle at 35. And so I think that they've definitely exchanged numbers. They've had talks. Jerry sat down and had those sort of discussions. There's no just official, here is a slip of paper that says this is the offer, or here is a contract that you can look over and decide if you want to sign this or not.
And Jerry said yesterday in the walk-off, I don't know why he didn't say this in front of the rest. These walk-offs drive me crazy. I'm glad they happen, but why are they happening, and why didn't he just say it when the microphones were live? Because the reporters are going to tweet it anyway. Archer tweeted it. Jerry said they went over everything, had everything worked out.
Yeah, because it was done in the Jerry way, which is he talks to the principal and he does one of those.
So you think then Micah was like, let me take this to the agent.
Yeah.
The Cowboys kind of present it as you backed out of this when Micah is just getting agent approval.
So yeah, like, I mean, let's take it like if I was sitting in a negotiation and somebody said, hey, this is the amount we want to give you. And I go, okay, all right, I'll go talk to my agent. And then I come back and I'll be like, yeah, my agent says we're not doing this. Like, I think it could have been something like that, where Micah says, yeah, that sounds good to me. And Jerry goes, all right, then let's just go knock out the details. And then he goes back to his agent. His agent goes, no, that's not a deal. In fact, you don't need to be negotiating with him. I will do the negotiating with the team, and we're going to make sure that this is handled the right way, because right now they're not doing it the right way.
All right, there it is. Little recap. Anything else from Schottenheimer before we got the giveaway and Ask Reddit?
Nothing big stood out yesterday to me other than just Shotty looked more buttoned up than he has any other time, I thought. Like that looked very much like he understood there's going to be a lot coming out of this that is not to do with me, and I need to just answer my questions the way they're given to me, and that's it. We didn't get a lot of 2-minute-long answers going into details like he was known for. These were a lot shorter, and I think he understood what the context was.
How have the Tolos been responding so far this morning? My timeline yesterday was about 97% disgust. Welcome, football is back. This is what the Cowboys do. Why am I still a fan? You had about 3%. The whack job homer saying, oh, you find a way to bitch about anything. Find a way to complain about anything, and also saying, good, these players need a kick in the rear end.
Let's see. They're saying, I hate, from the 204, I hate being a Cowboys fan. The Joneses are a joke. Let's see. Jerry's been negotiating with Michael Parsons. That's the problem.
and David Muffoletto.
Yeah. Steel sucks anyway. This stuff happens every year. Jerry just reminded us we won't be winning the Super Bowl anytime soon.
But there is still 801. Why can't these players just play through their damn contracts and get the extension when the contract's up? It's probably been 80-20 this morning, anti-Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, the answer back to that is because teams cut you. So if teams can cut you and tear up the deal, you can tear up your deal and get paid earlier. Simple.
Yeah, these contracts are not, like, if they were guaranteed, like in other sports, like, you know, baseball, right? You know, like
which Micah's deal right now is guaranteed. That $24 million is fully guaranteed.
Right, no. Yeah, but I'm saying, like, in baseball,
we never hear of a baseball,
right, they don't sign the extension. Now, you'll get guys who are on the rookie deal, and you buy up the arbitration years, but when you know, Jacob DeGrom, like Jacob DeGrom isn't rip. You know, if he has a player option, he can opt out and then re-sign.
Yeah.
The deal's the deal. You know, and you play it out.
All right, let's hook you up for turning it on and leaving it on. Your home of the Cowboys and Rangers.
But I'm pretty good drinking beer.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053. Wins a pair of tickets. See Billy Currington and Kit Moore on Friday, August 1st at the Pavilion at the Toyota Music Factory. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
I was trying to think of the song that you guys were debating this morning, but then Bobby's singing threw me off.
It was The Chair. By George Strait, yeah.
As he stood up to a perform right there. We got PP in the morning, the return at 8:20, Below the Belt at 8:40, and Nick Eatman live from Oxnard at 9:20. The KNC Masterpiece will join us from Cali as well. Us, along with G-Bag, will be out there on Sunday. It's Tuesday. It's Commercial Free Expressway. It's time for this.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
It is time for Ask Reddit. You can weigh in on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. You can also weigh in on the Twitch and on the YouTube over at the Fan Cam. And we'll kick around these questions here in the studio. If you have not joined us for Ask Reddit before, this is where we take the most viral questions from the last week over on the Ask Reddit forum. 50 million members asking all sorts of salacious questions and controversial things. And we answer them here amongst ourselves. And the first one is definitely going to RJ Choppy today.
Oh, all right.
Because I saw this one and I was like, oh, this went viral. Chop's getting this question.
Okay.
RJ Choppy.
By the belt.
Do you believe the saying, coworkers aren't your friends? Because this was your dad's philosophy, wasn't it?
Don't be too like friendly with people at work. Like, don't be too close.
Work is work, social is work.
Boundaries. No, I don't believe that they're not your friends. I mean, I believe that there are certain instances where coworkers want your job, and they're not your friends.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Like, fan after dark.
There's that. I mean, they can want it. All they want, but as the saying goes, if it happens after 7 o'clock, it doesn't happen on radio. But
it's called prime for a reason.
That's right. But I also think, you know,
I was like, so this segment is a waste of time.
No, no, no.
It's on PM.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like, it also depends on, like, did you just move into town? If you just moved into town, that's all you have. Is work friends.
Yeah.
You could have come to me first on this one for a change. This is so stupid. This is dumb. Yes. When you get our age, the only friends, except for, I guess, Choppy's neighborhood, the only friends you have are from work. These are my main people. These are my main people I socialize with. My wife's friends from high school, because she's from here. I grew up in another state. So, yeah, I'm going to be friends. And especially with our job, it's important.
That's exactly what I was wondering.
From your standpoint, too, like, as you said, like, you know, you haven't been, you know, you came here after high school. You didn't have a group of friends prior to that. So it makes sense.
And same for you.
Yeah, but I was here, like, during college. So I had, like, a group of friends before I got into the industry.
Okay.
So, I mean, so, like, if all my friends are from work, that's also it's too much because there's no boundaries.
So... You mentioned there that, like, especially for what we do, that it's a boost to be friends. I'm curious, what industries do you think make sense where, like, somebody you clearly work next to consistently, are there jobs that pop up where it's like, you don't have to be friends with that person? Like, it doesn't matter. You can be as toxic as you want or hate that individual. You don't have to worry about that.
Well, so I guess the Rangers clubhouse.
There we go. That's a good
answer. I'm joking.
Peyton, do you believe the saying coworkers aren't your friends? And why is it true about Alec Medford?
No, I'm not his friend at all. And work or outside of work. No, I don't.
Did you hear about the new producer in the building threatening to beat everybody up?
Dylan, that had Alec as number one.
D-Lon.
Yeah, Dylan. Alec off air was not happy about that. And I think on air he wasn't happy either. So maybe we get a diss track from Alec. I don't know.
Let's get a fight. Forget a diss track.
Let's just box it out.
There we go.
Prove it. No, I don't. I mean, working with people is such an easy way to make friends. And you don't have to be best friends, but, like, you can be friends and all that. I mean, you know, you don't have to – there's no law that says you have to – just because you're friends at work means you have to hang out outside of work. But there's no problem with making more friends at work. I don't have a problem with it. I hate the saying.
Over on the Fantex, 972 says, women are better at making friends in everyday life. than I guess men are. We got some other ones saying here, no, you have to be friends with people that you work with. Otherwise, the environment isn't going to work. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan.
I guess like teachers, maybe? I'm trying to think of individual things, like individual sports, that like you don't have to be in classrooms with other people. You got your own classroom.
Man,
I know some teachers that don't get along, and they seem to say that it does impact them, especially if it's like a group doesn't get along with one or two.
Yeah, like I think there's also a difference between being friends and like hating people you work with.
Yeah, yeah.
Big time difference.
All right, Sean, you're going to get this next one. Here's what we do Ask Reddit on 105.3 The Fan. What's a food that you refuse to eat because of the smell or texture? So not the taste. It's not even a taste thing for you. It's just a texture or a smell thing. You're like, I'm out on this.
I guess oysters.
Aren't you allergic to those?
I'm allergic to them. Allergic to them. But what are they look disgusting.
They do look disgusting.
And the texture of it, I never found, even before I became allergic, I'm like, they're loogies in a bottle. my mother's side canned oysters, and there may not be anything more disgusting to look at. I can eat tofu. I actually like tofu. You can dress it up and you wouldn't even know. I got probably the number one answer. And I can eat this sometimes, but sometimes I totally get it. It's okra.
Fried or just regular?
Regular.
Yeah.
Fried is fine. But
yeah.
Man, picking up okra with a fork or spoon and just seeing the slime. It's literally slime.
Yeah, it is.
Am I answering it the way you phrased it?
No.
Was it texture?
Smell or texture, either one.
Oh, the texture of okra has got to be probably the number one seed.
I can't. The smell. Somebody just said it on
it's
the
really the Chris Arnold fruit, the durian.
Oh, the durian.
The durian. That's the number one worst thing I've ever tried to consume.
214 just said mine, which is Brussels sprouts.
I like them.
I've come around on so many different veggies. I can't eat them because of how they smell. Like I just
you gotta cook them right. Mm. You can't steam them. You gotta burn them.
They just smell so bacon, burn foul.
Bacon burn balsamic.
Yep, that's three B's. That's it. Potted meat is on there for me.
Oh yeah.
Kiwi. I hate kiwi. I've never tried a kiwi.
What?
Never tried one.
Kiwi's so good.
I don't like the looks of them.
They look awesome.
Ah, green. I can't do green. Only thing I can do green is avocado.
You want to eat key lime pie?
No. No.
Man, what?
No. Nothing like that. I won't eat.
You're a food racist.
Yeah, I won't eat. I won't eat anything.
You're a fugitist.
I won't eat anything creamy and white.
No.
So ranch. I'll eat blue cheese, though. So that I'm a little weird.
Yep. Clam chowder?
I'll eat clam chowder. Okay. But
cream
ranch.
Cream cheese.
Cream cheese, yes. Cottage cheese.
It doesn't sound like this is a rule.
I won't eat cottage cheese.
But cream cheese you will.
Cream cheese is fine. Ranch or cream gravy?
Or sour cream.
Or sour cream.
Sour cream. I don't understand how he does without sour cream. Sour cream is so good. Peyton, what's your answer here to the question, what's a food you refuse to eat because of the smell or texture?
I mean, texture, I guess, beans for me. But really, it's grits. Like, I've had it, I think, once or twice, but I've never gone back to it. Maybe it was because I was at a young age or one, but that texture, it's like, I don't really know what I'm eating here. It's just a bunch of mush and mush, and then I put it in my mouth, and I'm like, I don't like
it at
all.
It's a bunch of mush and mush.
What is that?
It's just a little mush in my mouth, so I don't want it.
And you don't like baked beans?
No, any beans. I've tried
refried beans.
Refried, baked. Oh, man, I've even had the bushes with, chopped up bacon in there and everything. No beans.
All day, man.
Mike X Cowboy on the Twitch says it's beans for him. That's the one that he can't do because of texture. OP World says Jello. Over on the Fantex, we got back-to-back from the 214 and the 870 cottage cheese for that one. And now we're getting a lot of mushroom. 580 says, love the smell, the taste when things are cooked with them, but I cannot eat the actual mushroom due to texture. So
I can't eat a raw mushroom. You talk about a disgusting look. It looks like he's got under armpit hair.
I'll tell you another thing I hate is a soft peach.
Is that what
I like? No, I like my peaches to be hard as a rock.
But what about the fruit?
Really tart. Stupid. Huh?
But what about the fruit?
Right.
Why would you want it? So it's
this is a little softer than I like.
Oh my god! You almost broke your two teeth.
Yeah, I had one the other day. So tart.
Oh, you want it bitter?
Oh yeah, I want to be like in the side of my mouth.
Oh, the jaw, I hate that. The jaw lock. Mm. You're a freaking weirdo. Right. I'm glad we're not friends.
Look at that peach. I can eat this thing.
Hey,
all day.
Everybody, people give me crap for my palate and Kevin Hagelin's palate. Choppy is like low key over the time, just like revealing more and more things where it's like, what the hell are you saying about food?
It's I don't even know if it's his palate. It's like his rules.
Yeah, I've got a lot
his
of
life.
Rules.
Again, if I could erase two people from the existence in society,
two
it's
people.
Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld. Without them, there'd be no RJ Choppy.
That's a very good point.
It's a great point.
All my material.
Yep.
Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. You can weigh in on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053.
Peyton Russell. Liver, my mom. Great answer, mom. I can't do liver either.
I don't think I've ever smelled or... I definitely haven't tasted it.
Oh, chewing liver? Awful. Terrible.
It sounds disgusting. I've never had liverwurst.
Have you? Oh, I like it minced, grounded up.
Minced? I've never had
it. I'm talking about a piece of liver.
Like, it's hard?
Is it chewy.
Yeah.
It's chewy.
I've never tried it, no.
Liver. Good job, Mom.
All right, next one here. Peyton Russell, is your birthday important to you?
It is, but definitely not as important as, like, when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was, like, counting down the days or whatever, to like, the week leading up. But now it's, like, you know, if it happens, it's, like, I'm working every birthday. And I share a birthday with RJ. So, of course, it's important. But, you know, yeah, not as much as a kid, but I still like celebrating it.
Sean?
Nope.
Not at all?
I would like for someone to say happy birthday to me, like we did not do to Ruben. but I've already told Amanda, hey, we're taking a trip. It's going to count. I'm trying to do this year for the first time. It didn't work last year. I felt like she still wanted Christmas presents the day of. This is counting for my birthday, your birthday, and both of our Christmases. It's counting for all four. This trip is going to be so expensive and so big. It's counting. I don't want anything. Just a card. If my wife gives me a card.
What's the trip?
Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. Yeah. Taking her to BravoCon.
So
I don't have a hotel. But I don't care. I don't want anything for damn sure. I just want the acknowledgement. I want my parents, happy birthday, my wife, maybe you guys, if you see it on Facebook.
So it's not important to me.
And we
at all.
Know for you, you hate it.
It's never been important to me, but here's the problem the conflict I've had recently that's changing is the girls are starting to guilt with like we want to do for you, and that's where like now I'm having a hard time holding to the stance of like this isn't like at all important.
Oh, the belt female mantra Bobby, I want to do for you.
They want to do stuff, or they want to celebrate it, or they want to let's get you a cake. And so I gotta wait for them to get a little older, I guess, before I can completely abandon
just,
it again.
Chat, yeah, just a happy, I just a happy birthday. Just I want my loved ones to wish me a happy birthday. It'd be nice if my kids knew my birthday.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. They have no idea. They completely no idea.
Oh, how did day one go of the punishment? Or is it today?
Yesterday was orientation for the most part, okay? Yeah, yesterday was the orientation. Today, he is starting on. I think we're going to break him in easy with he has to clean the blinds. They've never been dusted, 8 years.
I didn't see that on the punishment list.
No, we added it yesterday. I saw him and I was like, ooh, we got to get rid of that. Okay. And then, you know, maybe one day this week, he's going to go outside and find out why we have so many ants in the backyard. In the pool. Why do we have ants in the pool with wings? Where do these ants with wings come from?
Yeah.
Aren't they the queens usually? Don't they have the wings, I think? So is there anybody worse, though? I don't know if you guys have ever run into this. You and I both know somebody. I don't think I can say it on the air, but you and I both know somebody who I used to work with who he would take off his birthday as vacation every year. And we always around the office were like, that's weird.
Why are you
like
weird?
It's weird. Like if it's a Wednesday, you're just doing it. It's like, I'm celebrating me. Like it was like, it felt very only child.
I mean, it's supposed to be your day of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I get it.
I don't have a problem with it.
I hate it. I think it's soft. All right. Next one here on.
Well, you didn't have any friends growing up. So
ask
you know.
Credit. I had eight friends and the Lord.
Teddy bear doesn't count.
Okay. All right. We're doing Ask Credit here on.
No count.
105.3 The Fan. Let's go with. All right, Sean. You know what? We're going to throw this one to you. If there were no term limits for the United States presidency, who do you think would have had the longest run as president?
I'm not answering.
All right.
No.
Next one.
Wait, let me try to think of someone maybe. Universally, not that one. This one may be going to jail now.
I mean, our answer is the guy who probably instituted term limits, which is FDR.
Oh,
because he got elected five times.
Look, I would say nobody, because I think we would get sick of everybody after a while.
Yeah, especially in this climate.
Like 8 years is perfect, but like you know, anybody that you want to choose, like Reagan outaged the thing. I think JFK. The people genuinely liked JFK.
Man, there was
I think Clinton could have lasted longer.
Clinton could have lasted a long time.
I think
that's what she said.
You got to remember, Kennedy won like the tightest election until Bush Gore. And then he was, the whole reason he was in Dallas that day was like, he was campaigning hard. Like, I got to hold Texas.
Yeah. And maybe there's a romanticism about the whole assassination. I don't know. I just think like, you know, good looking guy. He was young. He could have done the job for a million years.
Peyton, your answer to this one?
I mean,
you've been alive for what, two presidents?
Yeah, maybe four. I mean, I was, yeah,
Sean Clint is terrified.
Don't answer it.
All right, I'm gonna ask one more real quick. Do we have time for one more? Or should we wrap and hold for KNC?
Well, how long is this?
Do you lock your door when you're at home alone?
Oh, like what
I'm
time?
I'm not answering this either.
Like, nobody knows where you're at.
What time of day? Like at night? Yes.
Right. See, I have to lock the door all the time, and I didn't used to be that way. Kristen has flipped. She used to be the one who would always had to lock it. She'll walk out and I'll just close the door and leave, and she won't lock it.
I don't have to during the day. And I'm not saying this because I don't individually sponsor them anymore, but with DFW Security, I really have a camera on every damn angle and speck of my house. Like, there's just no. It's too much. The ants flying by, or the RJ's ants.
Yeah.
I'm getting the security notification, so no, I don't feel like I have to lock it. There it is. Ask Reddit. Nice addition from Roberto. Commercial-free expressway with a Billy Currington ticket giveaway. Jerry Jones on how much he's ever thought about giving up the GM role. Back inside the Star after the craziness yesterday in Oxnard. Next on 105.3 The Fan.